is the love of wisdom and the endeavor to attain it. The latter strives toward the goal which the former has already reached. And it is clear why philosophy was so called, for it acknowledges by its very name the object of its love. Certain persons have defined wisdom as the knowledge of things divine and things human. Still others say, wisdom is knowing things divine and things human, and their causes also. This added phrase seems to me to be superfluous, since the causes of things divine and things human are a part of the divine system. Philosophy also has been defined in various ways. Some have called it the study of virtue. Others have referred to it as a study of the way to amend the mind. And some have named it the search for right reason. One thing is practically settled, that there is some difference between philosophy and wisdom. Nor indeed is it possible that that which is sought and that which seeks are identical, as there is a great difference between avarice and wealth, the one being the subject of the craving and the other its object, so between philosophy and wisdom. For the one is a result and a reward of the other. Philosophy does the going, and wisdom is the goal. Wisdom is that which the Greeks call Sophia. The Romans also were wont to use this word in the sense in which they now use philosophy also. This will be proved to your satisfaction by our old national plays, as well as by the epitaph that is carved on the tomb of Docenus. Pause, stranger, and read the wisdom of Docenus. Certain of our school, however, although philosophy meant to them the study of virtue, and though virtue was the object sought and philosophy the seeker, have maintained, nevertheless, that the two cannot be sundered. For philosophy cannot exist without virtue, nor virtue without philosophy. Philosophy is the study of virtue by means, however, of virtue itself. But neither can virtue exist without the study of itself, nor can the study of virtue exist without virtue itself. For it is not like trying to hit a target at long range, where the shooter and the object to be shot are in different places. Nor, as roads which lead into a city, are the approaches to virtue situated outside virtue herself. The path by which one reaches virtue leads by way of virtue herself. Philosophy and virtue cling closely together. The greatest authors, and the greatest number of authors, have maintained that there are three divisions of philosophy: moral, natural, and rational. The first keeps the soul in order. The second investigates the universe. The third works out the essential meanings of words, their combinations, and the proofs which keep falsehood from creeping in and displacing truth. But there have also been those who divided philosophy, on the one hand into fewer divisions, on the other hand into more. Certain of the Peripatetic school have added a fourth division, civil philosophy, because it calls for a special sphere of activity and is interested in a different subject matter. Some have added a department for which they use the Greek term economics, the science of managing one's own household. Still, others have made a distinct heading for the various kinds of life. There is no one of these subdivisions, however, which will not be found under the branch called moral philosophy. The Epicureans held that philosophy was twofold, natural and moral. They did away with the rational branch. Then, when they were compelled by the facts themselves to distinguish between equivocal ideas and to expose fallacies that lay hidden under the cloak of truth, they themselves also introduced a heading to which they give the name forensic and regulative, which is merely rational under another name, although they hold that this section is accessory to the department of natural philosophy. The Cyrenaic school abolished the natural as well as the rational department, and were content with the moral side alone. And yet these philosophers also include under another title that which they have rejected. For they divide moral philosophy into five parts. 1. What to avoid and what to seek. 2. The passions. 3. Actions. 4. Causes. 5. Proofs. Now, the causes of things really belong to the natural division, the proofs to the rational. Aristo of Chios remarked that the natural and the rational were not only superfluous, but were also contradictory. He even limited the moral, which was all that was left to him, for he abolished that heading which embraced advice, maintaining that it was the business of the pedagogue, and not of the philosopher. As if the wise man were anything else than the pedagogue of the human race. Since, therefore, philosophy is threefold, let us first begin to set in order the moral side. It has been agreed that this should be divided into three parts. First, we have the speculative part, which assigns to each thing its particular function and weighs the worth of each. It is highest in point of utility. For what is so indispensable as giving to everything its proper value? The second has to do with impulse, the third with actions. For the first